There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, ready and set for your new coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock. Remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. This week, I get to check in and catch up with Michael Monroe, former lead singer of Hanoi Rocks, whose Michael Monroe band has been active for a number of years. Their latest release, the album One Man Gang, which features the coolest song in the world, Last Train to Tokyo. Let's hear some of that now, and then Michael will join us on your coolest conversations in Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred, and today I am joined by famed frontman extraordinaire, Michael Monroe, on our coolest conversations. Well known as the lead singer in Hanoi Rocks, his recent solo album is One Man Gang and features our coolest song in the world, Last Train to Tokyo. Happy New Year, Michael.
Happy New Year, Manfred. Happy New Year, everybody.
Well, what did you do for New Year's Eve?
Well, nothing much. I had two cats, and they were scared of the fireworks, so I stayed home with my wife and my cats and took it easy. Very un-rock and roll, I'm sure.
Well, you know, so in Los Angeles, the 4th of July, is the fireworks are just completely out of control. It's the summer. Everything is dry as it can be. And there are people in my neighborhood shooting off like stadium-sized fireworks. It's completely crazy. And the dogs, it's just the saddest thing. They're just completely freaked out. And I can't stand it.
it's horrible for the animals. For cats and dogs and stuff. Yeah.
Well, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, my resolution is not to have any resolutions.
Excellent. So you'll probably keep that one.
I haven't really thought of anything much. I do what I always do, so.
Well, I mentioned your track, Last Train to Tokyo. It's our current coolest song in the world, and I was watching your video for it, and that features footage of you and the band rocking out in Japan. How often have you played over there?
Well, we were there last August. That's when we filmed the video, and that was for the Panasonic Festival that happened in Osaka and Tokyo, and then we did a little small club gig for the video as well. We went back there just a couple of weeks ago. We came back. We were there for about a week to do our regular tour, you know, our own tour, not festivals. Just we played two shows in Tokyo and one in Osaka and one in Nagoya. It's great. We go there once a year, once in 2 years, and it's always been great. I played there over 30 times or something. I counted the other day. And
wow.
It's a great place to play, and they're really passionate about rock and roll, and they still sell CDs and vinyl there, physical product, and a special country. Always loved them and had a good relationship with them.
Well, my experience over there is that after a gig, the promoter will gather the bands who are on the bill, maybe a couple of people from the venue, and go to a local restaurant for what they call an after-show party, which sometimes can last longer than the gig did. Have you had similar experiences?
Well, this time we had a dinner with the record label and the promoter, the booking agency. At the end of it all, we just had one dinner like that, but we didn't take wasn't that long. I left before everyone else, so I don't know how long the rest of them stayed, but it didn't take all night. But there used to be a promoter, this guy who's now retired, the legendary Mr. Woodo, used to bring all this Led Zeppelin and The Who and all these bands in there back in the day, and he had some really cool stories. He used to always take us to the Kobe Beef restaurant, which is most amazing. When I used to eat red meat, I still ate red meat back then. It was really amazing. I mean, they massage the cows and they give them beer or something to make the meat as tender as it is. And it was something else. He had some cool stories. And it was every time I ate that red meat, I always had some nightmares, you know, the next night. It was strange. It always happened. So I'm glad I don't eat meat anymore. But yeah, they have some really nice food there. I like sushi too.
Oh, you do like sushi?
Yeah, I eat fish. I still eat fish. I'm a pescatarian.
What is the weirdest food that you've ever had over there?
The weirdest food that I ever had, I never had, is that fish that they have that can be poisonous. What that?
Yeah, the puffer fish.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So last train to Tokyo, my notes say that your guitar players Rich Jones and Steve Conti wrote it. Is that right?
Yeah, it's about the mistake going to Japan. When we go there, it's always very hectic, and the whole thing is like a space trip because you're all jet lagged and tired. Right. And you're only there for a short amount of time. So it's about feeling exhausted and overwhelmed by everything at the same time, but also loving the whole experience. It's, you know, it's not a super deep lyrics, but it doesn't have to be. That was the idea. We wanted to honor the Japanese and pay them, you know, homage. And also it's for homage to rock and roll, and because they're like, they really love their rock and roll over there. So we figured it was cool to have a tribute to Japan kind of song.
Absolutely.
Like, so
did you record that with the rest of the album? And when and where did you record the album?
We recorded the album already in 2018. We recorded in March. The basic tracks we recorded in March 2018. And we had 18 tracks that we recorded. And then we took a little break for the summer, for the summer festivals and stuff. And then we went back in the studio in the fall, me and Steve and Rich, and finished the overdubs and stuff, and chose the songs. We didn't have a label or management at the time, so we had all the time in the world. We all write songs, you know. I encourage everyone to write in this band, and it's right. Great, because when Steve and Rich, if they write lyrics as well, and when they write lyrics, they're like inside my head. So whatever they write, usually it's like I can go, wow, I can stand behind this 100%. So because we know each other so well, we're such good friends. And luckily, I'm not a control freak, nor do I have an ego that would get in the way. So I like collaborating, and I think that's how you get the best result. And the best songs make the album, regardless of who wrote it. So
yeah,
that's how we work. And I know Little Steven says you can't have a band without a name. It can't be Michael Monroe, but can. I'm proving it now. It really is a band, you know. Yeah.
Right on. Well, I know you play saxophone as well as harmonica, and I definitely recall hearing harmonica on the new album, at least on Wasted Year, if not on other tracks. But I don't recall if I heard any sax. Is there any saxophone on the album?
Yeah, actually, the sax on only one song, In the Tall Grass. There's a little bit of sax in the middle part and the end. We were fighting with Steve Conte about the level of the sax and the Ebo guitar thing in the middle section. And he was saying, he doesn't want to go. He's going to go to Jersey. I said, what's wrong with going to Jersey? I mean, you know, what are you talking about? Flammers? I mean, let's hope that we can sell as many records as those guys. And then we were looking, you know, for the right level for both of those parts. But there was sax on a couple of songs that I took off the album before, and I wasn't thinking about it when I chose the songs for the albums. And later on, I realized, oh shit, there's no sax, not much sax on the album. But you know, there's some harp.
Harp playing is killer.
Thank you, thank you.
I wanted to ask you about Sammy Yaffa on bass. I know he was your bass player in the Hanoi Rocks, and you two guys have played together off and on over the years. How many years would you say you have played together?
Oh, since about 1980, when we started Hanoi Rocks. So almost 40 years. Is that it?
Yeah, 40. Yeah, that's right. That's 40 years.
Yeah.
It's 20 now, so that's 40 years. Are you like an old married couple answering each other's sentences by now?
No, we're blood brothers. We're like like brothers from another mother. You know,
oh, right on.
We've been the best of friends throughout the years. We've been the best of friends, and everything we always do together is always fun, and it's always successful. And he's the best rock and roll bass player in the world, I think, to me today. After Lemmy's gone, you know, Sammy really is an unbelievable player. He really adds a lot to anything he does, and he's always been my dearest friend. And we've been brothers throughout the years, and still are. And it's great to have him in the band.
So you mentioned Steve Conte. Can you remind us how you came to have him in your band?
Well, he was with Sammy and the New York Dolls, and the Dolls were going to break, or I think they were planning to take a long break or indefinitely have a break. And we had this other guitar player who was in the band originally, but he bailed just a couple of weeks before our first tour in the U.S., and Sammy called Steve to see if he was still available, if he hadn't gotten any other gig. And you know, luckily Steve was available because he was way better than this other guy.
Yeah.
And he's a great songwriter and everything. And it worked out perfectly. So I'm so glad that this other guy bailed. At first I thought, oh, don't do this to me. And my first tour after restarting my solo career, coming back to the States after 20 years or whatever, it's going to look bad, you know. Oh, yeah, Michael can't keep his band together. But it was the best thing that could have happened. So it fit perfectly in the band. And really nice guy, super talented, a great singer. Great to have backing vocals too with these guys. Those great singers that, you know, like Steve, his voice and my voice really fit.
Hey, I was going to ask you about tour dates that you have posted for shows in Europe. I mean, you've got 2020 dates up online. People can check out. Any chance that we'll see you on this side of the Atlantic this year in 2020?
Well, hopefully. Right now, we're concentrating on Europe. We did 3 weeks in Europe before Japan, and we're going to keep doing, we're going to get some festivals and stuff lined up for the summer and concentrate on Europe mainly. But the States, I'd love to play there. It's just a bit of a, you know, a challenge because you got to get all the work permits and everything. And playing there, unless you get on a really big tour and get a lot of visibility, it's, you know, it's apart from the East Coast, the West Coast, playing the Midwest, touring there in small clubs, it's not going to make any, you know, you could do that forever and nobody will ever notice. So unless you get in a really big, like, stadium-sized tour, then, you know, then it would make sense. But we'll see. We'll have to see. We're doing our best.
Absolutely. Well, in 2017, you had a single out, One Foot Out of the Grave. That was from an upcoming box set. Did the box set ever come out?
It was a compilation, two-CD box set. You know, CD with two CDs. They had, it was called Michael Monroe, The Best. And the first CD was all the stuff from 1985 up until 2003. And then second CD was this period with this new band from 2011. Three songs per album. And then you had some previously unreleased stuff like One Foot Out of the Grave. That was kind of like the single. And some other songs that were never released before. Plus, including, you know, we did a collaboration with Slash asked me to sing with him on Magic Carpet Ride for the Coneheads movie soundtrack in 1993, remember?
Yeah.
The comedy movie. Yeah, so we did a version. He wanted to cover Steppenwolf's Magic Carpet Ride. Then me and Steven were in New York. We sat down and we were working on a new arrangement for it. And little Steven and I went to London to record it, and I sort of suggested the new arrangement for Slash, and he said he liked it too, and we worked on it a bit more, and then we ended up recording both versions, and then to see which one Warner Brothers would pick up, and they picked the new arrangement for the record for the movie soundtrack. So the other version that we recorded was never, that was more like the original version, that was never used, and I had an audio cassette of it all these years. I've kept it to myself, and when the compilation time came to make the compilation album, I emailed Slash and asked if it's gonna be a big hassle, you know, negotiating with lawyers and stuff to get the rights to use that song. It would be so cool to include that on the compilation. And Slash said, "Well, send it over." I sent it over to him, and he said, "Yeah, that's cool. You can use it." I love that guy. That's brilliant. So it was great to have the previously unreleased track, which. With Slash, and you know, that had never been released before, and you know, on the album, I was on an audio cassette, and I transferred it to digital and all that, and then, you know, that was on the album too. So not bad.
Well, hey, cool. The other track off of One Man Gang I want us to take a listen to right now is the title cut. So who wrote One Man Gang?
One Man Gang was Rich Jones. It's really about me, as you can tell. But the lyrics are, I mean, One Man Gang, when he came up with that song, I thought, well, that's it. And that's the name of the album, because the band's name is Michael Monroe, but it's right. Five guys. It's a band. Right. So, and it's, you know, the lyrics are pretty self-explanatory, tongue-in-cheek. The line in the chorus about everybody pissing on their own parade was about people who vote for things like Brexit and Trump, and then they wonder why everything's shit. Everything's all screwed up. So, you know, and then it's about rising above that negativity and running on the PMA, you know, positive mental attitude to make your own life better.
Absolutely. So, I'm glad you mentioned PMA there, because I was assuming that meant positive mental attitude, but yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that's
well,
it.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today in our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great talking to you. And hope this year's going to be better than the last one. Let's make it a great one.
Hey, well put. We'll make it a great one. And right now we're going to take a listen to the title track of your recent album, One Man Gang, in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Yeah, you know that I ain't ever since Jesus, but I got a pretty face. Ain't no salary man, cut in a dirty red face. You can try all you want, but you'll never put me in my place. On the day I was born, with all the doctors gathered around, I was running a mile before my feet had hit the ground. You can try all you want, but you're never gonna keep me down. I ain't walking on water, but I know a trick or two, and you know I don't wanna hang around with you. You can follow the plans, but you'll never understand. From the heart.
One Man Gang. That's the title track to the new Michael Monroe album here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Michael for speaking with us on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. And here's looking forward to our next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.